I'm speaking today with Mrs. Elaine Armstrong, President of the Country Women's Association of New South Wales. Today is Tuesday, the 11th of December, 2012, and we're meeting at the Country Women's Association headquarters in Potts Point. My name is Virginia McLeod. Elaine, could you tell me what year you were born?
I was born in 1942.
Right. And where were you born?
I was born in Goulburn.
Yeah. In the town or in the country region?
In the town. My dad was teaching at Taralga at the time.
Yeah.
And I was born in the hospital in Goulburn.
Right. And so did you grow up there?
No, we moved very soon after that to the coast, to the south coast, around the Wollongong area, and I grew up in that area, around the Fairy Meadow side on the north of Wollongong.
And you went to school and
went to school at Fairy Meadow and then to Wollongong High School, yes.
And what did you do after you left school?
I then went to Wagga Wagga Teachers College and took up a career teaching and moved back to the coast to teach for the first part of my life. Then married and went to Orange and taught up there for a little bit.
Then, this is high school or primary?
Primary, infants and primary.
Yeah.
But then when I started my family, I had to resign and move to the coast again. And
why did you have to resign?
Because I had two pregnancies very close together, and you couldn't extend your maternity leave at that time. So I resigned and then had my three sons and went back to Wollongong and upgraded my qualifications to a diploma of teaching, and then started teaching as a casual, permanent casual in some cases, around the Wollongong area.
So when you say you upgraded your training, you mean you became a high school teacher? Yes,
I was able then to teach high school up to year 12, and because I had a maths honours from high school, I went into mathematics and taught mathematics in the high schools around the area down there, just on a couple of days a week basis.
Yeah. And you enjoyed that?
I loved it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're not living in Wollongong now?
My husband decided we'd do a tree change 20-odd years ago, and part of me really wanted to stay on the coast, at the time I thought 5 years we'll be back on the coast. I'll give him 5 years, but we're still out there. And our families have now settled around us. So you're all settled around Wagga? Not all, no. One son's in Newcastle direction, but the two sons that are near us are on the farm, and we've moved into town and retired.
Right. And so what brought you to the Country Women's Association? Were you always a member, or only once you moved to Wagga?
No. My knowledge of the Country Women's Association in Wollongong was only of their restrooms, which were in Bureli Street. And as we used to get dropped off, my mum and I would be dropped off, and my dad and the two boys would go and do their boy things, whatever they did, I can't remember. We'd do our girl things, and then we'd meet back at the CWA Rest Park in Wollongong. And that was my only early experience of the Country Women's Association.
And tell me a little bit about it. So what did it comprise, the restroom?
At that time?
Yeah.
The restroom, as I remember it, had... we used to go there because there was good swings out in the rest park and tables and chairs and a bit of shade over there. But we also could use the restrooms themselves, the facilities. And I can remember especially putting the penny in the slot, and you used to slide the catch across. Do you remember those?
No, tell me.
That was a while ago then. It went to tuppence after a while, but you used to put a penny in the slot and slide the catch, and it would open the door to the toilet.
Mm. Right.
As we'd sort of walked out and in and out of where we were going to the toilets, the ladies were sitting in quite a big room from memory, with lovely white tablecloths, with afternoon teas or morning teas or lunches, whatever it happened to be. Sandwiches, tea, scones, pikelets, whatever. But they seemed to be playing cards or games and things, and that was my impression of what the Country Women's Association was. So when we moved to Wagga and went farming, I had no daughters, no sisters, and was just sort of on the farm. And the name said to me, would I consider joining CWA? And I said, oh, I'm not old enough. Thinking back to those older ladies that I had seen in Wollongong.
When you were a 10-year-old or something.
Yes,
yeah.
And they seemed very pretty old at that stage. And she said, oh, no, it's a lot more than that. And she gave me one of our CWA journals, which opened my eyes then to the breadth and depth of where this association is and what we can do and our outreach that we have and the number of women that we can help, women and families, and how we can help them. And it was the international work that drew my attention particularly. And yes, I was happy to help reform, as it happened to be, the Aura branch. And because I'd been a maths teacher, of course, they said, you'll be treasurer. So at my first meeting, I took treasurer.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Yes. And so was it a way into a whole group of other women and a way,
yes,
a different way of life?
It
did
certainly
change
was.
Your life?
It didn't actually change my life, but it gave me a bit more direction. It certainly gave me female company. Having had no sisters or daughters, growing up with brothers and sons, I was very much into the man side of things, and my female interests, like craft shops and things like that, sort of were on the shelf at the time. But getting into CWA and meeting like-minded ladies who were wanting to help the community but also to help women in the broader picture as well, it became much more, I suppose my focus became much more directed in what we were doing through our association.
Mm. And so when did you become president?
State president.
Mm.
I finish in May, so this is my third year.
Is that the limited term?
Yes, it's actually you commit for 12 months only, but you can do it for 3 years in a row. This is the completion of my third year coming up.
Mm-hmm. And so this naturally grew out of your interest and you moved up through the...
Yes, I certainly, it was not on my agenda when I joined CWA to be state president. That was never my intention at all. But it just seems to have... The paths seem to have led me this way, and here I am. I have been state secretary 10 years ago, actually. I was state secretary, so I've sort of had a little taste of being involved at a state level. And when the nominations were called 3 years ago, I thought, well, I'll see what the family say. And they said, well, why not? If you're meant to be there, you will, and if you're not, you're not. So I did, and here I am.
Here you are. So, as president, of course, your work brings you to Sydney.
Yes, quite often.
How often do you come here?
I'm down in Sydney at least every month, sometimes only perhaps for 2 or 3 days, sometimes for 10, 12, 14 days at a time. It just depends on the program that the association has and what's necessary, what meetings are necessary for me to be here. I do a lot of travel throughout the state. I've probably... In the last 2 years, I have travelled over 50,000 kilometres, and I've probably shaken hands with half the members of the association in that time. So it's a wonderful experience in that way, that you're getting out and you're meeting people. You're encouraging them where they are with what they're doing and letting them see that, you know, that there is a purpose, a direction. We're 90 years young, strong. And we're on the way now to our centenary, which is coming very fast.
It's around the corner, isn't
around
it?
The corner.
When will,
yes,
that be?
And
the,
in 2022.
Yeah, it's not far.
But what was I going to say? The 90 years, we must be doing something right, because there's not many other women's organisations that can claim to be 90 years strong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've achieved over those 90 years many things for women and their families.
And kept going.
We're still going on. Yeah.
Sometimes organisations change or turn into something else, but you've kept...
We're still
the name
looking in the same direction.
Yes. So I'd just like to talk a little bit about coming to Sydney. And so you're based here, and the headquarters here in Potts Point also runs a whole lot of... various kinds of accommodation for your members.
That's right.
So can you tell me a bit what you offer your members in terms of accommodation?
In terms of accommodation, the members are offered here a single room with breakfast included for $45 with a shared bathroom. But if you choose to have an ensuite as a single member, it's $65. But if you're sharing your twin room with another member or a husband or partner, it's still the $45 a night, which is $90 for the whole room. That's for non-members. We have family rooms, which, again, they are at a special rate. And I haven't used a family room, so I'm not really au fait with the costs of those. But there are family rooms and there are double rooms as well. We do have one room that is available for a disabled person, but is that what you call them, disabled person?
Yes, unaccessible. Yeah.
Yes, but it's not a fully room as such.
Yes, yeah, you have to have a very big bathroom and things. Yes. You mentioned that you were going to upgrade the accommodation.
Yes, we're looking to upgrade it.
Is that for a because the members are demanding different sort of accommodation?
No, it's because the building's demanding it.
Right.
The building is now, since 1982, this is 30 years old, and it's had a lot of... Our accommodation rate is well over 70%, so it's had a lot of feet walking through the halls and the bed sleeping on the beds, and it's we can't put in air conditioning because the electricity won't take it. Our pipes, our water piping... is restrictive. It's an older building and needs to be redeveloped, and that's what we're hoping to be able to do, and that's underway, under discussions at the moment.
You're working on plans?
Yes.
And was this built new in 82, or was it just sort of largely renovated?
It was built
the accommodation
basically
buildings.
In 82. Yeah. It's been refurbished in 94, I think it was, or it might have been 2004.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a very tired building. The lifts are problems at the moment, although they're going well. I shouldn't say that. They're working at the moment, but there are problems. Mm-hmm. We realise that with the building, but it's still a home away from home, and the members appreciate the fact that they can drive here. They've got secure parking. They've got secure lock-up at night. There's a security surveillance a couple of times an evening. We are only sort of a stone throw from King's Cross, but we don't seem to have any great problems in that way. And once you're here, you park your car, you can use the bus, you can use the train, you can get a taxi, and you're only 15 minutes walk from St Vincent's Hospital.
A lot of your members come because of family members
medical,
in hospital?
For medical reasons and appointments and things, yes.
And what other reasons would you say they come for?
For shows, some of them might come down. I know we have a very heavy booking for Christmas and for New Year's Eve and things like that. We're just about fully booked out each of those because people want to come down to Sydney for the celebrations. But a lot of people come for perhaps the opera, and they'll come and park and have the evening. We have an evening meal, an evening meal, two course for $20, and a lot of people come and have their meal and then go off to a show, and some come down for weddings and all sorts of reasons that people use it. Some, when the cricket's on, there are some families that come and stay so they can be handy to get into the cricket, and the same with the tennis. I don't know about Boxing Day with the yachting, but I would guess that there'd be people
all
too.
All the big events.
Yes, all those
popular.
Big events.
Yeah. And what about the Easter show? Is there any connection?
Yes, the Easter show. Some of our rooms at Easter are kept for those working at the show. So that they've definitely got a bed to sleep in for the show, but they're still having three floors of accommodation. There's with 50 rooms, there's still plenty of room for others to come at Easter. We have our word seems to have spread through our associations around Australia, the other Country Women's Association, about how handy we are to the airport, and a lot of people come. Stay here from the airport and use it as a stepping stone to visit throughout the state, whatever. And the same with overseas visitors. We have a lot that come to the airport and then come here to make sort of their first step here. And then from here they can go out to wherever or do whatever.
Are you affiliated with overseas organisations?
Yes, we are. We are part of what's called the Associated Country Women of the World, and its head office is in London. And we have a South Pacific Area President who is one of our New South Wales members, and she is on the board over there, so that we do have that link. And we go as delegates to the World Conference or to the South Pacific Area Conferences, which one was in Tonga in September this year.
And you went to that?
Yes, I did. And the National Conference, which is just for the Australian Country Women's Association, that was in Hobart in August.
Yes. You've got a busy life.
It has been busy, but it's been great.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about your room here.
My suite?
Yes.
I call it a suite because at least I've got two rooms and a bathroom.
Yeah.
But it's lovely. From my point of view, I really feel when I come in and shut the door, I'm myself. Not that I'm not myself out there. How can I explain this? When I come in here, I've got things around me that belong to me, and this I can sort of turn off to what's out in the office, and it's lovely.
Mm. So even though the office is just upstairs,
theirs,
or
yes this is
you,
still sort of
you
my,
feel like you're coming home,
home
at the end
yes,
of the day.
I do. I say I'm home again.
Yeah.
And also the streets, just walk up the block, and you can be up and have coffee and cake or whatever you want. And
do you find that you go out to eat, or you eat in the
dining
room?
Oh, no, I eat
in
the dining room usually.
Yes.
It's only if there's somebody coming that wants to talk something that I don't want in the dining room, that's when I might suggest, well, there's a little coffee shop, we'll go up here, or we'll have a meal somewhere. But basically, I eat here, enjoy their meals and their cooking.
And do you cook for yourself at all? I mean, do
no,
you
I don't.
Facilities?
The other rooms don't have cooking facilities. They only have a tea and coffee. They have to have their breakfast together in the dining room. I think the hours there are 7:30 till 9:30, so it's quite a good spread, and you can help yourself to whatever you want there. But no, I only get my own breakfast here. I could, because I've got the microwave, I could do my own, but no, I go and join them.
And tell me, when you were making it, you said you've got a few things of your own here. What did you bring to make it feel homely?
A painting, a clock, photos of family.
Tell me about the paintings.
Actually, I won that at one of our state conferences in one of the raffles that we had. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, that was lovely. First prize was a quilt, I think, and I'm not really a quilty person. But I won the second prize, and that was it. And I just love it. And it's part of sort of being here when I walk in and I see my clock and I see that, and I sort of think, oh, that's nice, I'm home again.
It's roses. It's very lovely paintings. And the clock, tell me about that, because that's
that's
a painting
actually,
too.
Yes, that's from my own Riverina group, and they gave that to me when I became state president. And it's... Yeah, it's not really like a clock. It's just, it is a clock, but it's not, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
A clock that doesn't look like a clock.
Yeah, you just have to look twice to see the hands on it, don't you? It's more like a painting.
Yes.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you
My family photos.
Your family photos.
Yes, different things that I've been doing
objects.
Along the way as they go around. Yeah, so that's it. I don't spend a lot of time in here. Usually it's only lunchtime. I come in here for lunch. And after the evening meal, if I'm not going, sometimes I have to go back up for an hour to the office, and then I'll come back down here and be ready to fall into bed. I don't watch much TV. I haven't got time. Here, when I'm here in Sydney, it's too...
You're too busy.
Too full on.
Yes.
Worry
so in time. Sydney, are you mainly here and people are coming to see you because they want to see you as president, or what are you
both
preoccupations
both.
Here?
Yeah. It's mainly business, things that I have to see to, plus it may be a solicitor, it may be like yourself, an interview, it may be all sorts of things that slot into the week that I'm here. But as well as that, I go out to meetings. I might be going out to a meeting with the Minister for Agriculture or something like that, anything that we can tee up to slot in while I'm here. So I'm not actually sitting here doing nothing.
No, I didn't imagine that for a moment. So tell me, when you go, you'd said that you'd travelled extensively in your time, like 50,000 kilometres or something. Mm. Do you drive? Do you fly?
Mostly drive. And although there are times when, if I'm away on a tour, when I went up the north coast, for example, I had to come back to Sydney for a dinner one evening, so I flew back and then back, left my car at Port Macquarie, flew down, and then went back to continue up there. And when I went to Hobart, of course, I flew. There were times, and when I went to Darwin, I flew. Mm. There are times in Perth. Again, the long distance is usually by plane.
Mm. Do you like driving?
I don't mind. Yeah. Yes. Mm. I've got a lovely car that is leased for the state president, and it's very comfortable. And I don't mind going on my own because I can put a tape on. I have Radio National a fair bit, actually, and just keep in touch with everything that's happening.
It gives you time to reflect.
Yeah. On my own, I can stop if I want a coffee. I haven't got to keep talking.
A bit of time out.
Yeah.
And when you go to all these different countries, tell me, how many branches did you say there were?
Well, it varies. The most, I think, is about 26 branches in a group. And I think that's Hunter River, and they've got about 650 members there. Mm. But mostly, it averages probably 18 to 20 branches that you visit. I usually go Monday to Friday, and then there's usually a morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner throughout the week that's organised for me. I don't have to organise, and the group president takes me
around.
Usually in my car. Usually takes me around, and I have Monday to Friday. I have done a couple of groups back to back where I've sort of done Monday to Friday in one group, had Saturday to myself, and then turned up ready for the next one on the Sunday for the next week. I've only done that a couple of times, but when I'm that far up north or
geographically south,
yes, I've tried to fit in a couple at the same time.
And where do you stay then?
Home hospitality.
Right.
Except weekends. So weekend, when I do my washing, I usually have my own motel room or something.
Yeah.
So that I can veg out and sleep and
wash. The group provide hospitality.
Yes, through the week the group provide.
Yeah. So you stay with different members?
Yes.
So you get to know them. Mm. So there's branches, and then above that there are groups.
That's right.
And how many groups?
30.
30, mm-hmm. Right, throughout New South Wales.
Yes.
And overall, how many people?
We have nearly 10,000, just under 10,000 members, which is quite a big... It's the biggest women's organisation in... not all Australia, I guess, not only New South Wales. Victoria has about 4,000 members. Queensland has about 4.5. Tasmania have about 800. Northern Territory about 200. And I'm not sure of Western Australia... I think they're about 3.5, and South Australia probably about 2.5, 3. I'm not sure, but we are the biggest organisation for women.
Yeah, yeah. And you've met
certainly the
about
oldest.
Half of those members. So that you've met about.
I would have shaken the hands of half of those members. Over the 3 years, I would have.
And going, you've obviously been to other states too. Do you feel there's a difference between each state in the kind of
Not really. We're all Country Women's Association. We all have similar motto, and we all have similar aims and objectives, and we all are under the umbrella of the CWA of Australia. So basically they're more or less the same right throughout. We all do a country of study for international work. We all help internationally, the South Pacific area and throughout the world, as well as your own community and your own state, whatever.
Mm. So tell me about this country of study. I was interested in that. What's the rationale for that?
That's to sort of to improve international understanding and to see how women in other countries are managing, how their lives are, how they live. The country that we've just finished was Timor-Leste. That was last year. And we're just starting now on Morocco.
And how are the countries chosen? Is it
it's chosen by actually the members. It goes right back to the members. And in each branch in, say, July, August, they would say, right, what country do we want to study? Not the next year, but we go 2 years ahead because it takes that long for it to get through. Mm. So the branches then, they might decide, well, somebody obviously decided that Morocco was going to be their nomination. So they then nominate it to group so that all the branches then in the group, they might hear one for Morocco, one for Italy, one for France, one for Norway, and then they vote. And the winning one, which obviously must have been Morocco somewhere, came to state, and then the state...
Same process.
Again, is voted on. That's why we have to do it sort of for 2 years ahead.
Yeah, it takes a while.
So it takes a while for the process.
And then, okay, so you know, I'm in a branch out in the country somewhere, and we're going to study Morocco. How do you go about that?
We have a study school in February each year up in Armidale, and the international officer, we have a state international officer, and she organises through the university to have special speakers and dinners and presentations and perhaps folk dancing or something like that for the whole weekend in Armidale. And then at that weekend there's a book produced on what the speakers have said and things, ideas that are available for women. We have a competition, several state competitions. One's a book, and the members can do a book and enter it in the competition.
You mean they write a book?
Yes, they compose a book about the country, Morocco. You do the usual climate, geography, history, agricultural, women's interests, family life, costume, cooking, anything at all that your particular international person or your branch decides that they want to focus on and cover. And then they go into, a branch competition or a group competition, and the winner from the group comes to the state, and the state is judged then overall, and there's a first, second and third for the state books then. And there's all, as well as the book, there's a doll, and those that are into handicraft can dress a doll in the native...
Moroccan dress or whatever.
National costume.
In
the national costume or whatever it is.
Mm.
And we also have another piece of handicraft, which is just, for example, it might be, I can't think now, weaving, like Timor-Leste was similar to what you've got.
Yeah, that's ties. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a piece of handicraft that's typical
of that country.
That country, yes. And as well as that, we have children's competitions at schools. We have school posters, and there's quite a few branches involved as a local school or two, and they have competitions there for projects, for books or for posters. And on International Day, the school children usually come along and listen to the speakers. We all have an International Day and get a guest speaker who's been to the country. The country before this was Iceland, before Timor-Leste was Iceland, so that was an interesting one, and Scotland before that. And so we've studied many, every year we study
the country.
Yes.
And does it do you also do cookery from that country?
Every year we have a cookery competition. You mean from the
from
country?
That country.
Not as a competition, but when you have your International Day, you have
international
the cuisine
that
from that country.
Yes. And does it translate into members going to these places?
It can do. Sometimes we have had our international officer or somebody that's able to do it arrange a tour, and we'll tour the country, whatever. Not every time, just depends. And, that can happen.
And have you been through one of these courses, or whatever you like to call them, yourself?
A study school?
Yes.
Yes, I've been up there. I love to go, but I haven't been up... I think once when I was state president. Because our national meeting, the whole of CWA of Australia, is always the same weekend as Armidale.
I just wondered what... the effect is, you know, do you notice like a big change in people's attitudes to a particular country or culture? I mean,
when we studied Egypt, I suppose there were a lot of people had been to Egypt, and it was easy to get speakers. Morocco might be a bit more difficult, but I think it helps a bit more to understand a bit more about the women in those countries and the pressures that they are under. and to hear some of the background of Iceland and the pressures there on women and their girls. And
I was thinking, in this age of internet, does it lead to like the equivalent of pen friends, but you know, contact?
We do have pen friends. Yeah. We have CWA pen friends, so that can happen, but it doesn't necessarily.
It's not linked with the study group. No.
It's just a worldwide thing that our members do. If you want a pen friend, you just write to the pen friend lady, and she will put you in touch with someone around the world. If you want a pen friend in Scotland or
you can say
Egypt or Morocco, you want to contact her, and she has contacts that she can link you up.
Actually, I was reading in your magazine about an English woman who met up with an Australian woman. They'd become pen friends. And
So we collect stamps, use stamps.
Oh, yeah. What do you do with them?
They sell them for international work. It goes into international work. And we're also collecting coins. And you know, when you come back from overseas and you've got all these
coins,
we collect those, and they get
sent off,
off and sent up and
for fundraising.
We do mother baby packs for Papua New Guinea. Which are for mums that are going in to have a baby, and the packs usually have a couple of nappies, cloth nappies, and towels and baby rugs and baby clothes and a nighty for mum and talcum and soap and just some nice little things, and they've been very popular. We've sent hundreds of them over to Papua New Guinea. And
have you been up to Papua New Guinea?
With CWA, no.
No.
I was there years ago, but not with CWA. Mm. We also do emergency packs, emergency bags, which are sort of glad bags with toothbrush, toothpaste, washer, soap, comb, things like that. And we give those to hospitals or to ambulances, and within my own area at Riverina, we give them to the Women's Refuge, and I think there are other branches that do that. Mm-hmm. And you get a call that says, oh, we need a dozen more emergency packs. We also send material aid over to the South Pacific areas. They're parcels made up of material and cottons and needles and pins and tape measures and zips and anything that the ladies can use to make
sewing
things with. And we've not this year just gone, our year finishes in September, but September last year we sent about 220, I think it was, of these big parcels had gone over to Papua New Guinea, to the South Pacific area.
Mm. And do you have members coming from the South Pacific to...
They come here and stay here.
For medical treatment and
those
sort of things?
Yes, they do. They come to stay and they come to visit, but not very often because the planes are not really...
It's expensive, yeah.
They're expensive, yes. We have paid for a few to come over at times to do special courses or to do a workshop before a South Pacific Area Conference. New South Wales CWA has wanted some of those to come.
And I was also interested in your, what we might call, I know you're apolitical, but you obviously do lobby the government on various issues. Mm. And I wondered, you know, does that form quite a big part of your
activity? It's probably becoming more of a part of the association than it used to be. And we work with the government as much as we can. We're certainly not, that's part of our motto, is honour to God, service to the country. Honour to God, loyalty to the throne, service to the country, through country women, for country women, by country women. So by being loyalty to the throne, we're sort of loyal to the government, but even so, we did rally and ask for them to be vigilant and to protect our land and water. That was what we were doing.
It was last year, wasn't
in
it?
May.
In May, this year.
But no, it wasn't that we were against the government. We were asking them to be vigilant and to protect our land and water, because our members are concerned that we need to look after our good agricultural land and not let it be undermined or
literally
sold off.
Yes.
So that come 2050, if the population of Australia becomes what it's projected to be, we'll need our good agricultural land, and that's what our members are concerned about. So we are lobbying to protect our land and water.
Mm. And when you had a march, didn't you?
We joined
Canberra.
We joined the rally.
Was everybody happy about that? I mean, people feel this is good action.
The members themselves, I had quite good support from them, and over 200 turned up to walk on that walk. So yes, the members, I think, were quite au fait with what we were doing. Our focus, as I say, was on the protecting our land and water. Yes, we were walking side by side with those against coal seam gas, but that wasn't our focus. Our focus was on protecting our land and water, and that's where we were heading. That's what we were marching for.
Yeah. And did you get an opportunity to discuss with the relevant ministers or anything? Or
oh, yes, we have. We've spoken.
But not then, at other times.
No, we've also put a... we put our presentation to the government inquiry into coal seam gas. We made a submission to that and spoke to that. So, yes, we do. When the opportunity is available, we use what we can. We have an agriculture and environment officer, and she has her finger on the pulse to do with anything
those
like that
sort
for
of
the
issues.
Environment.
Yes.
And for agriculture. Yes.
Yeah. And I suppose primary production is also important. Focus
yes,
for you.
It's a focus, but it's not the focus. New South Wales farmers, women in agriculture, their focus is mainly agriculture. Ours is such a broad scope that it's only a part of what we are doing. And yes, we are concerned about land and water, but only we're concerned about hospitals, we're concerned about health, we're concerned about roads, we're concerned about communication, we're concerned about so much else that is only
just
a
one
part
aspect
of,
yes.
of what
yeah.
we're about.
Yeah. I noticed there's seemed, you know, historically there's been quite a connection with the land, the newspaper.
Yes,
and
that's
I wondered,
right.
again, that, you know, associate that with agriculture. Mm. But do you see it as a voice for Country Women's Association or only in relation to agriculture?
Do I see the land as a voice?
Yes, is it a
the land
relations?
Has been very good. Mm. We've had a very good relationship with the land for must be 70 or more years now, and they have supported and provided finance for awards for our cookery. We call it our land cookery competitions, and they've always been part of that for us. We don't use it as a voice to get our to get out there, but
they pick up on
they
things that you're doing
things, yes.
and they
come to our conference
you in that way.
Yeah. They come to our state conferences and they focus on the issues that we are concerned about
and particularly the ones relevant to their
yes.
readership presumably.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Yes, it's an ongoing relationship. And I noticed also in the past, like, you provided seaside holidays. You know, there's this tradition that the Country Women's Association supported the Royal Far West Home and Country Flying Doctors. And
we still do all that.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't provide... We haven't got a seaside cottage anymore.
That's what I was going to ask.
That was sold at Man
yes.
to buy this.
Yeah.
But, yes, this is still... As a member service or non-member, they can still come and stay here, but it's not free. They have to pay.
Yeah. What in the past? You mean the seaside cottage in Manly was free?
No,
was it?
No, it never was. To my knowledge,
right? It was,
like
you'd booked to go and have
a
seaside.
A branch might have had a family and said, "Look, you go and have a week at the cottage. We'll pay for you."
Yeah.
We have a mountain home.
That's the other thing I was going to ask. Yeah.
And that again is at a member rate, and I can't tell you what it is. There's a member rate and a non-member rate, but it's at Batlow.
Yeah.
We also have a cottage at Bermagui, again a member rate and a non-member rate.
Mm-hmm.
But we still support the Far West Children's Home and Royal Flying Doctors and childcare helicopters. There's many things.
With the holiday homes, do you know how it came about, like the one in Bermagui? Did somebody leave it to the Country Women's Association?
I don't really know, but I would suspect
don't.
So.
Yeah.
It certainly would have been, I think, a bequest that would have put that cottage there. And I don't know about the one at Batlow. It's called the Jessie Sawyer Mountain Home, but whether it was a bequest or not, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yes. Mm. And have you stayed at either
one? I've stayed at the Batlow one, but
yeah.
not at Bermagui. I've had friends stay at Bermagui and said it was very comfortable. Most of our places sleep 8 and very comfortable. I mean, it's not 5-star accommodation, but then neither's this, but it's very comfortable and at a reasonable rate for members, and it's a way to have a bit of a break away from the heat and the dryness of the inland if you want to get out, or for members from Sydney to go down the coast to Bermagui or up to Matlow. Yeah. We've got quite a few members from Sydney that go to Matlow because it it gets them into the mountains and away from the hustle and bustle of Sydney.
And I noticed too that you take up a lot of, I mean, the organisation began, as it were, with a broad base of social welfare for women and families in the country, but you support or take an interest in quite a lot of issues like mental health and youth issues and elderly and so on.
Yes.
And is that a big part of the work in the country areas?
Well, it's not any country, it's right throughout, because there are many in the city areas that are needing support that find it difficult
and do it through the CWA.
Have members, we have branches here in the city. We have a group called the Phillip Group, which is around this metropolitan area, and they are always able to help people. We have a very strong hospital committee that visits any, if say for example I had a friend from Wagga coming to hospital here, wherever, I could just ring the hospital committee and say, would they mind just calling in on my friend? And that's a big help to people, as well as being able to visit in other country areas to know that there's somebody that can just
in
pop in and
yes.
say hello to your friend that's in hospital.
And what do they say? Do you need anything? Or,
Just some local support they give.
Yeah.
And sometimes they, if it's a mum that's having a baby or something, they might take along a nightie or booties or some baby things for them. It's up to the hospital committee and what they do.
Yes.
I think they take quite a few Christmas presents for children.
Christmas time.
To Christmas time, they'll call on the children that they know. And
do they take people on outing? You know, like say you're up here for long-term rehab or something, do they take people out for the day or anything?
I don't think so. I haven't heard of it, but they probably would if they were asked.
If it worked out. Yeah. So it's a very far-reaching network, isn't it?
We have, yes.
Yeah.
It's a sisterhood, really, of 10,000 members, which is great. Yes.
And
having no sisters or daughters, I find that, and no mum and no aunts now either, I found these ladies that I meet are take the part of my
kindred
my
spirits.
Family, my
yeah.
kindred spirits.
Yeah.
This sisterhood. Yeah.
Yes. And I think, talking of your mother, I think you mentioned to me earlier that your mother had been very involved in the PNC, but not the Country Women's
Association.
My mother
was a school teacher, yes, and so was my dad. They were both school teachers.
Yes.
So no.
And were they active in the teachers' organisation, the teachers' union?
Not in the Federation, no. But as a school principal, Dad, I guess, had his hand pretty full doing things, and... Yes, my mother was never into the Country Women's Association. I know that she went.
Although
with
you
me.
Used the restrooms,
yes,
but yeah, she
the restroom,
didn't.
But
yeah.
she the meetings were a daytime ones, so there was no way that she could get there. I do know she was in the Mother's Club before I started school, and then she went back teaching when I started school. But their interests were always in education.
Yeah.
And I guess mine was too until I moved to Wagga and became part of the Country Women's Association.
And I was just going to ask you a bit more about the restrooms. I mean, are they still just a place where people go, you know, to have use the facilities and have a cup of tea or whatever, or are they very much a hub of information and activity?
Yes, I have visited quite a few restrooms. CWA rooms, they are really now, going around. There seem to be public toilets in most parks, so the need that was there for a women's restroom, years ago, when especially in the country, when the, on a Friday, when the farmer would come into town to either bring his stock in or his crops in or pick up things, they would spend the day doing whatever they wanted to do in town, and there was nowhere for the women, especially if she had a baby, to sit under a tree with the flies around on the sock. It was not really the choicest of things. So the CWA started building their restrooms, they were called in those days, and those rooms then were there for the women to come into town and use. And yes, they became members and they started encouraging each other and showing cooking skills and knitting skills and all these things that sort of go with a day together that women have. But then over the years, earlier on, they started baby health centres, but they have been taken over by the government, so that need is not there. And the rooms have become more social gathering places for women and the community. Quite a few ladies' CWA rooms are now being used by community groups, perhaps for Tai Chi or for yoga or for a book club or for
Book launch.
Yes, those sort of things. So that the rooms are being used for
by
different
the whole
things.
Community.
There are still they're still there, and they're still, but they're not open like the public toilets are these days. Usually you just go, if you're travelling through, you would just go to the park and use their facilities. But there are some rooms that are open nearly every day because they might have craft one day, they might have yoga one day, they might have ballet another day, they might have gymnastics another day. But basically the rooms are for use by the women and the community. They're looked after by the Country Women's Association. And
is the building owned?
The building is usually owned by the association. Sometimes that it might be on council ground, but basically it's certainly our building, and it's used for whatever the women of that branch decide they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And is it also a hub for information? I mean, both formally and informally, in that you might have, you know, some of the issues that you're trying to address, like youth problems or mental health, you would have brochures there.
Yes. They would perhaps have for example, Crohn's disease is our medical research, and they may have a guest speaker coming to a luncheon, and they would open it up to anybody that wants to come in here for a luncheon. Usually it's very reasonably priced, and then they have a guest speaker, and they might have a raffle that day that would support any fundraising for Crohn's disease or whatever.
So each year do you take a medical
Each year
condition?
We take a medical
a like your
research.
Country. Yeah.
And we can do it for 3 years. We don't have to. It's selected every year. We've had cord blood stem cell for 3 years, and I think we raised about $105,000 over the 3 years. We had prostate cancer for 2 years, and I think we raised about $70,000. And we've just started this year on Crohn's disease, and we seem to be averaging about $30,000 a year fundraising for them.
And I also wondered too if it was a place where women exchanged ideas and information
certainly.
Informally, in that
certainly.
You go and you sit down and maybe you're knitting or whatever.
Mm.
But
and somebody says, oh, how do you do that? I'd love
yeah.
to know how to do that. And
yeah.
so it starts.
And also maybe when you're knitting, you say, oh, you know, I'm so worried about my son because...
Oh, yes,
and
yes. Cups of tea and coffee are wonderful for helping women to relate to each other. And I think those times that you have with your members, with your friends, that happens, yes. And the better you get to know them, the more the friendship becomes... it grows, and you become more confident in that, in who you're talking to and things like that. Yeah.
So it's a sort of important focus for support, really, for women.
And you can get then on the phone and say, oh, remember we were talking about such and such, I've just read whatever, and you can sort of continue your friendships that way too. Mm. Sometimes when I've been travelling around, some of our older members, those that are sort of 75, 85, they've been working so hard in fundraising that they are getting to the stage where they're content now to just come and sit and chat and talk. And that's a big, important part of what our association is about as well. It's not just the fundraising, it's the friendships and the contacts that we can provide for women and their families, wherever they are.
Yeah, and people in that age group might be having bereavements.
Yes, yes. Some of them are sort of, they've lost their husbands and their families have moved away, and perhaps this coming together once a month, our meetings are usually month to month. Some meet weekly. They might have craft 1 week, cooking another week.
Spread over them.
But mainly it's once a month, and this coming together for the older ladies is sometimes the only chance they have of actually getting together, especially in the far remote areas, of coming together to support each other. And they really look forward to that, and it's important that they have that social contact.
Yeah. And would maybe somebody bring an elderly person?
Yes, quite often you'll hear somebody saying, "Oh, I've got to go and do a pickup," and she'll duck off after she's got the cups of tea ready, or cups out, and she'll go and pick up three ladies from somewhere and bring them back.
Do you have any men who are members?
No, we don't have any.
You can't be a member.
We've just made some honorary members, men. For our 90th year, we chose to honour some of the people who have supported our Country Women's Association for many years, or for supported our ethos of supporting women and families and encouraging younger women and children. And we've just, for this year only, given an honorary membership to some men and some of the fellows who have helped the association over the years, just as an acknowledgement, really. And
contribution. Sort of ways have they helped? You mean like with technical advice?
John Dwyer from the land, for example, and the support that the land have given for many, many years, and John Fairfax, who his wife has been the honorary patron for our journal, and he has had a big connection with. And then David Peachy, the Indigenous sport fellow, and the way he's encouraged young people, and especially the Indigenous side of things, to help along the ethos of improving conditions for women and families in the way of sporting. And there's been several, 10 actually we did statewide, but each branch was encouraged to give one honorary membership, not necessarily to a man, but if it was to a man, that was fine, just for 12 months. Yeah. That doesn't mean they get discount accommodation, though. That entitles them to invitations to anything that's on, and our journal. They get our journal for 12 months so they can keep in touch with what they're doing.
Good bit of recognition.
Recognition, because sometimes they'll say, "But I haven't done anything," but when you look at what they have done and how they've encouraged women and their families, mostly families, the encouragement there to improve conditions is the big thing.
And do you have any branches that are within the Indigenous community too?
A lot of our Far Western group and Darling River group are in there. Menindi is one in particular that comes to mind, and there's quite an Indigenous number of members there. But look, anybody's welcome. We have no preclusions. All they have to be is a resident of New South Wales and over the age of 18 to be a full member, but girls, we have junior members from when they're born. Sometimes mothers join them up.
Sign them up from birth. Yeah. I just wanted to come back to the actual building here when you took me round the accommodation, and I was struck that you had some lovely old furniture in the living room and the activities room and television room. Is that being given to the organisation, or was it always here?
Quite a bit has been given, bequested to us from members, but some of it is from the original building that was here. There was quite an old stately home here when the property was bought, and some of that, some of the windows and the doors and some of the furniture is actually from that original cottage, it was home. More than a cottage,
yeah.
The original home that was
here. So originally it was a home and members could stay here, and then it was demolished or...
No, it was a home. The members actually couldn't stay here at that stage. We only had head office, I think.
Yeah.
But then we bought this very soon and it then next was made door, into the accommodation.
Yes, yeah, so then it was rebuilt, yes. Now, can people who live in the city be members? You mentioned
certainly.
A city branch. Yeah.
Yes, actually, more than half of our members live on the eastern side of the Great Dividing Range.
Right.
And we have a group here in Sydney called Phillip Group with branches. We have a Sydney City branch that actually meets here right in town. Here at our unit here we have Cumberland Evening, and Eastern Suburbs, which meet here. We've got Eastwood Epping, Lane Cove, Manly, Norfolk Island, mind you, is one of our branches.
Island, yeah.
Northern Districts and St George Sutherland, as well as Sydney City Branch and the Western Suburbs branch.
Yeah, so quite a few.
So there's
Sydney.
Quite a few around here.
Yeah.
And I know they'd welcome new members if you're caring to join.
Right. We'll put that out there. Yes. And... how much, you know, because you've got this headquarters here, how much emphasis is there on headquarters, and how much do you feel really it's all the rural outposts, the branches and the groups that they form that are the heart of CWA?
This is probably the hub of the whole association in New South Wales, because it's everybody contacts head office here for whatever information they're needing, for any fundraising they do comes, so that this is really the hub that each of those branches feeds into through a group, but not necessarily. If they want to contact head office direct,
they can. So I could start a branch up in the middle of nowhere and just ring up head office and say, what do I do?
Yes. You can start one wherever you like. There's quite a few starting evening branches, which are younger women, business women, who come together for a meal and perhaps just a guest speaker, and that night the raffle might be for Crohn's disease or whatever they decide their fundraising would be for. Mm.
So it's more a social meeting and some sort of
information. It's not so much into the handicraft and cooking as what perhaps the other older branches are.
Yeah. And do you have a lot of younger women joining?
We do have quite a few younger women joining. I think they're becoming more aware of that we are more than tea and scones, which we've been saying for the last 3 years with our awareness days. And I think young women are starting to realise that, you know, it's a great association, it's well respected, our logo carries a lot of power in that it's representing over 10,000 women, and we've been very protective of that over the years, so that we have the esteem that in which we are held because of the 90 years of what we have been achieving.
So people feeling it's useful, it's an important thing to be part of.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think the young people, especially the younger ladies, who are now looking further than just their own little concern, are wanting to do something to help women or communities, and are finding that through the CWA they're able to do that.
Because in a sense, through the CWA you could choose to set up almost anything. I could say, we're going to do
limitations.
You know, I don't know, some rare dance or something, and you would say okay, and you can use our rooms, and presumably you help with things like insurance, which often bedevils small groups.
No, the branches have to do their own. Your membership that you pay, nearly half of that is covered, your personal insurance coming to and while you're at meetings and going home, and we get members to sign their attendance for legalities, and the same even if you're here to set up the day before or to clean up the day after, you should still be signing so that there's proof that you've been there for insurance.
Yeah.
But as regards the rooms and photocopiers or whatever is in that room, the branches do their own insurance cover.
Right,
we
so
don't,
they're independent.
As an association, cover that. We cover personal, but not
for the members,
their property.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And each branch would have their own record of, you know, what they kept, and the insurance company, they would get billed from the insurance company for their own insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the head office, how many people work in the head office?
I think it's actually 6.5.
Right, yes.
We only have
yeah.
a lady
yeah.
that comes two or three days a week, just depending. It might
and
be 2 weeks, 2 days 1 week and 3 days a week.
Yes, and then you have a woman who runs
the executive
hostel as well.
Oh, yes, the manager
yeah.
of the residential club, yes. There's she's the manager, and there's three
staff,
reception
working.
Staff,
yeah.
and the housemaids.
That's quite a bit.
And the housemaids can vary. If there's
yeah.
only, not that we've ever only had 50%, but if there's only 50% occupancy, you certainly don't have as many housemaids
some, yes.
as you do when it's 80%.
Really busy,
yeah.
yes. Yeah. So you provide, in the hub, as you say, the sort of expertise and support.
Yes, yes.
For members.
That's right.
Yeah. And do you get members contacting you directly about personal problems or issues?
Yes.
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 Yeah. And you
and
deal
everybody's
with that?
Got my mobile phone.
Yeah.
And I always have my mobile phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I don't mind. I'll turn it off. I turn it off at about 8 o'clock at night. It's got a message bank so that they can leave a message and I'll get back to them when it's convenient the next day. But no, I don't mind. I can't always solve their problems, but you know, sometimes a trouble shared is a trouble halved, and you see perhaps a different aspect of things, and you can say, you know, think about this, have you thought about that, those sort of things.
So you have quite a long day, 8 to 8 probably,
basically. Yes.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. But you thrive on it.
I don't mind my day at home. When I'm at home in Wagga,
yeah.
is not 8 to 8. I will sometimes, if I'm going shopping, I'll just let head office know I'm out of the house, and I'll be away till lunchtime or something. So it's not really 8 to 8 every day, but it can be, especially when I'm here in Sydney.
Yes,
it can be 8 to 8.
Yeah, and you're probably maximising your time in Sydney.
That's right.
Because you've got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to say? It's been really interesting insight.
No, I think I've covered everything. Did I mention about our auditorium that we have here?
No, you showed it to me, but
yes.
yeah, just mentioned
the auditorium is where we have our state meetings, not our conference, but our state meetings, where our 30 representatives from around the state come together 3 times a year, and they're really the board of the association, and we there have correspondence and discuss and vote on which way
issues.
We're going.
Yeah.
We don't set policy at that. The policy is actually set at conference, but it's the business side of getting things done that 3 times a year. And they stay here. It's a Monday till Thursday. It used to be Monday to Friday, but we've now condensed it to Monday to Thursday involvement. So they stay at the club and just come down to the auditorium each day for the meetings.
And so the conference, which is annually, is where
every
you
May.
Set policy, is it?
Yes.
And how many
policy.
People come to that?
There's about 1,000 ladies usually. This year, in May, we were at Blacktown, and we have 5 zones in the state, so we travel around. And next year, we'll be in Moree, and then sort of going around the state. I think we're around the Riverina, Griffiths, round that way the next year. And then I think we go down the south coast somewhere down that way, and then back up again. So that with the five areas around the state, we sort of
rotate travel distance. Yeah, yeah.
Plus that gets the money up to country areas. I know when it was in the Riverina in Wagga back in the 1990s rather. It brought so much money into the town, it was incredible. And that's by taking the conference around to with 1,000 women around and having a week's conference.
All the hotels were booked out, and
food
and food restaurants
and petrol and hairdressers and flower florists. So,
it's
a boost quite a bit
for
of a boost
economy.
To the economy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Elaine. That's been really interesting. Thank you. Answered your question. Yes, you certainly have, and more.
To hear them come back. It's funny when you're talking, it's different to when you're writing something.
Yes.
And I've found when I've read some of the interviews that have come back before, I thought, did I say that? Did I say that? It'd be interesting to see.